Hello, and we're back. CB Jacket Jagaloons podcast for number 9, right? 9. It should be 10, but I forgot to record myself last podcast last week, so we're doing a little twofer Tuesdays, baby. I'm Nick, your host. Zach, the big guy, Brandenburg. Say hello to the people.
Hi, everybody. If you're watching the game tonight, I feel bad for you.
It's not a good one. 5-1 Flyers over the BJs here with... What do we got on time? We're
16 minutes to go.
Yeah, not looking good. Everybody looks bad. Zach, what's your first impression since we got this going on right now? Them, how they look? Because I've been running around. I've kind of
very slow. I mean, okay, cool. You came back from a long West Coast trip and might be a little tired. I get it. Whatever. But I mean, just from the drop of the puck, it just 12 shots in the game. I mean, it's kind of half your battle there. But yeah, just looks slow and organized. Just kind of slapping it around out there, taking bad penalties, shocker. Giving up power play goals. Just bad effort tonight. So we'll chalk
five
that up.
Five goals on 22 shots, too.
Yeah. Bob's kind of looked sloppy, but again, he's not really had any help defensively. Obviously, no help offensively. So
did you say Bob? I think you said Bob.
Yeah, Bob, Elvis, whoever. It doesn't matter.
Point, you're really going down a bad hole here.
You're watching this has just depressed the shit out of me. So
yeah, you're thinking about Bob.
Yeah, after the Winnipeg game, I was kind of like, all right, a little juice, I guess, and then they just came out flat. I've just been kind of The juice is loose. This has been hard to watch, to be honest with you. So. Whatever.
Well, I guess I'm glad I've missed some of this because I've been kind of running around and whatnot. So today, tonight, this evening, in this moment.
Good band.
That's one of Zach's favorite bands. See, I said that. I was like, I've heard of that band. I've never listened to them, but. So we're going to recap a few more games than we usually do because I'm an idiot. And I feel like last week, of course, I would think this. I think, Zach, you might agree, but I feel like it was a pretty good one last week. But we just got Zach's recordings, so we didn't get my – and we got the intro, and that was it. And I tried to make this little song, and I tried to edit, and apparently I didn't hit record again. So it was just Zach, and I listened to it, and Zach was like – it would be like a long pause, and he'd be like, yep. Oh, yeah.
That's what the fans want to hear, baby.
I contemplated putting it on there. Like, you know what? Let's just fuck it. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. Let's see what
fuck
the
it.
People
we'll do
think.
It live.
We just think fuck it, we'll do it live. Let's see what the big guy, does by himself and what people think of it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, this wonderful context that I'm speaking about? Yeah. They love it.
It was like, you know, when you see the recording, it's like nothing. And then you're like, whoop, yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
Zach, you don't tell people how many you've had, but Miller Lite, I'm assuming?
Yeah. Long day. So I've had a few sarsaparillas.
Okay. All right. I know there's some whiskey drinkers out there that are around our age range. I'm just not man enough to sip on whiskey on a Tuesday night. I know there's a lot of people that do that, but I guess that's why I'm just getting fatter by the day drinking beer. But you know, but I got a little Miller Lite 16 ouncer.
Oh,
just a little pounder can. Just love those things. And then I got my little fridge here. For the second half, when things get real wild, North High Hopes West Coast IPA.
Woot woot. Everybody loves a good IPA.
compliments of my buddy Eric Brewer there. Hooked me up. I think I mentioned him a few weeks ago, but so I'll be hitting that here shortly. So yeah, game recaps. We got we'll talk a little bit about the Johnny tribute again late because we talked about that last week, but we'll touch on that. Yours truly will sing a Canadian BJ song, likey no likey, things I hate, PK stink A, round the league with the big guy, two Jagaloons, one cup, ideas to win now. So you're saying there's a chance. You're out. Oh, you're out of here. You're a check yourself. Wait, you're out of here. You're a check yourself. There we go. Is the big guy still nuts for the Bucks and a playoff run? I added the playoff run from last week. Say the quiet part out loud. And Zachy's got big thoughts. He's got questions. And I think we got a little trivia. I'd like some of my likey, no likey. So let's get it moving because we're going to, you know, we got to work on that two for Tuesday. So game recaps. We'll touch on these quickly because these feel like they were months ago at this point, at least in my brain. The Canadiens overtime loss. The Flames win was fantastic, which made the that was a 5-2 win at home, which made the Calgary trip even more confusing, I guess. But then again, it was an emotional night too, so that's factored in, I think, more so than probably any other game. Blackhawks, we were worried about that game. They took care of business with that. That was nice to see. And then the Flames, obviously, at Calgary, the 3-0 loss, which was the first shutout loss of the season for the BJs, which I think is a pretty good little nugget, I would say, big guy. I mean, first we're, what, a quarter, more than a quarter way through with a team that was expected to do diddly poo. And I don't know. I feel like that's pretty good. We first shutout loss. So, and then we had the Oilers. Of course, we beat them. When did we beat them a few weeks ago, right?
It was earlier in the season. Yeah.
We gave them a whooping. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So we gave them their whoopings. They took care of us. 6-3, lost the Canucks game. That was a tough game. They looked really good the first period, and then just the second period just kind of forgot what they were doing. And then the third, I think, was not much better. The Jets win. That was really nice to cap off. I felt like that was like salvaging the most important. Like, that was a very important game, I feel like. And then now we're back home and shit in the bed against the Flyers, which I heard them say the Flyers have lost 3 in a row. Torts is their coach, obviously. This one felt like, even when they dropped the puck, that it was going to be a tough one with them losing 3 in a row and Torts is your coach, at least in my eyes. But you've seen the whole game, so obviously, and I don't think we're going to make any kind of crazy comeback because.
No, we're still slapping it around.
Yeah, a little slap and tickle. So. Can't keep it in their zone. Olivier had a decent fight after a not so great call, in my opinion. So this team is 6-3-1 in the last 10 games. Pretty solid. I mean, it's like up and down, up and down, up and down. This team has provided highs and lows and a little bit in between. And it's still fun to watch. And I'm still having a great time watching this team. But the inconsistency sometimes, especially on the road, is frustrating, to say the least. Right, Zachy? Let's see.
I just I don't know. I think you said it best. Inconsistency is probably the easiest way to put it. Again, you talk, go back to the start of the road trip, Chicago looked fantastic. You know, you gave up all three goals were, you know, power play goals. And then you just kind of Calgary. Yes. We kind of wrote that one off. Even when we talked about it last week, it was just a game that was more about the game. I think as much as both teams tried to come out and play and whatever, Calgary obviously did a better job, but we'll just cross that out. Then after that, it just kind of got ugly with Vancouver and Edmonton, and Jets game was great. But it just, it's so up and down, and it's not even game to game. It's period to period. That Canucks game come out flying, looking great. Even the Edmonton game, the first period was halfway decent, and then just after that, it's just been a collapse. So I don't know. This game's been three bad periods. So there's no really consistency there, just garbage. But after coming off that Winnipeg game where they played phenomenal, you figure coming back in front of the home crowd after being away for six, they'd have a little pep in their step tonight, and it's been the exact opposite. So you said it best, buddy. Inconsistency is probably the biggest frustration that I think most fans have. But again, you're still hovering around 500 for a team that no one thought would be anywhere near this. And, you know, it's like you said, it's still fun to watch. Just a little bit more consistent, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, just tough to come off that whole road trip tonight and just kind of lay an egg. That's
rough. Got another one. Bam. 5-2. Saying there's a chance.
I'm on a hand. I'm not saying
that. Am I ahead of you?
I think by like a few seconds, maybe.
So you haven't seen it yet?
I have seen it. So, but it was shortly after you said we got another
one. I seen him. All right, let's move on. Likey, no likey. Let's just jump right in. I feel like people like this. So last week I had West Coast confidence, ? And nope. I left that just to remind myself, and then I said West Coast woes. Whoa. What do you think the problem is? You think it's some lack of veteran guys, you know, the Boones? Or I think we have enough experienced guys to figure it out to win on the road. I mean, it just seems really weird that we kind of like have kind of dominated some of these teams at home, and then we go to play them and they dominate us. So it's like, what? How is it so drastic?
I don't have a good answer for you.
I mean, I get home field advantage is important, and you know, and especially at our barn, I really think the players really thrive on, you know, the fans in a lot of cases, but it just, I don't know. It seems kind of weird that it's that bad. I mean, they're like, is it like 4 or 5 wins and whatever at home? Like it's pretty bad. We should have those numbers, but I don't.
It's pretty drastically different. So I don't have a good answer as to why it's so bad. But again, like I said, periods that look great and then the rest looks bad. It's just inconsistent. I don't know if they get sleepy when they go out west. A time difference really fucks with them. I don't really have a good idea of what it is, but I did see that they went and did a little curling there in between the Vancouver and Winnipeg game, a little team building.
And
maybe that's a spark that they had when they went and played Winnipeg. So we only got really one big road trip, I guess, in quotation marks there left. And it'd be Utah, Dallas, and Vegas. That's kind of the last one we really have. So maybe go to the casino while you're in Vegas. I don't fucking know. Something to get a little bit of camaraderie with that little 3-game trip. But now you're going to play most of your games on the East Coast against, you know, your conference rivals, whatever, division rivals. So get the two big ones out of the way. We don't have to deal with it anymore the rest of the season, but you still got to go on the road and play some really – the Eastern Conference is loaded. So got to go play some tough teams and some tough games. So we'll see what they do hitting the road a little bit closer to home. But I'm glad we're done with the big West Coast trips because that no good. No bueno.
I believe I heard that their next 15, 10 are at home, I believe. So that definitely, and then, you know, you throw some East Coast stuff in there. I haven't looked too in depth on the schedule in the next 15 games, but I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. So that, I mean, that's good. So, yeah, this one just looks bad. I don't know. All right. We've touched on it. We said last week, we wouldn't talk about him, but we got to talk about him because we didn't record it. But, the trade haul for Juracek, obviously a lot of people have touched on that. I actually listened to a thing today, and it was some Minnesota guys, and it was like they were – like I didn't know at first that they were Minnesota dudes because I thought it was Locked On NHL, and they were pretty much like just saying that it was a great trade and that Columbus doesn't have to develop their players, which isn't a lie. But and just – you know, saying that he'll be ready soon and just needs to get, you know, into their system and whatever. And okay, whatever, you know, but I feel like adding the pieces that we got for him is great. And then given that we got Denton six picks later, I think that was when we went Juracek and then went Denton, Matejuk, 6-12, right? I think that's how it went. So to think that we got the guy at 12 that probably, or at least right now, is better than who we drafted at 6, and we got a bunch of draft picks that Mean Dean or that Donnie can throw in or something for some kind of trade or move up. I don't know, but another thing I heard too is that I think he was very conscious of not trading within the Eastern Conference. He wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't want to trade him to freaking Pittsburgh when, you know, and that was kind of getting discussed and then have him haunt us for, you know, 10 years, which would be terrible given that if he could figure it out. I mean, he is 6'4", what, 200 and whatever pounds. Like, the dude would be a monster to have to play all the time. So, especially if you played for Pittsburgh. So I guess my likey, no likey is, do you like what we got? Or are you just disappointed that it happened? I kind of forget what you said last week.
No, I think it needed to happen for both sides. So again, Minnesota people want to say, we don't know how to develop. They're not wrong. But I'm going to go with that's the old regime had a massive problem with that. And I think that'll change with the new, but I think the damage was already done. The writing was on the wall. So he needed a fresh start, and good for him. I'm glad he got it. We needed some draft capital for, you know, whatever moves and stuff we want to do, whatever Don and Dean think is best. So I think for both sides, it was the right move at the right time. I like it being out of the conference as well. So more power to him. I hope he develops into a great player. I just don't think it was ever going to happen here. I just think kind of the damage at that point was done, and he was bitter, and we just weren't willing to kind of be patient with it. So wish him nothing but the best.
Do you really mean that?
Honestly, I don't really care. I just keep thinking about when you said the 6-12, and I just kept thinking 6 to midnight.
Oh, wow.
That's where my head was at. But no, I really don't. I didn't have a problem with the guy. I always had high hopes for him, but again, he's not here anymore. So I really don't care what he does. But I would rather see him be successful than just kind of die out of the league and be nothing. But I guess at that point, it would prove the Jackets right that we didn't think he was going to be what he was supposed to be. So maybe that would be a nice little, you know, middle finger to the people in Minnesota of, see, told you. That's why we didn't want him here. But again, if he does well, then good for him. If he doesn't, I don't care about.
Can we be glad that Kent Johnson didn't go the same way that Juracek did, given that Plaskel freaking healthy scratched Kent Johnson last opening day and messed around and scratched all these people that were just trying to figure out how to play. And he's just like, oh, nope, you're not playing. Like, and then he turns out to be like arguably our best player this year already in a year, and thinking, Really?
In a year, like, where he's played half the games and looked like the best player on the team?
I mean, from everything we've seen, just how things are done now compared to, it still bothers me that I'm just like, was that guy just like one of the worst coaches ever? Like, it was just a shit show. Or was Yarmo just, I assume that maybe Plaskel was just the puppet, right? I mean, maybe Yarmo was like, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And given that Yarmo was probably feeling the heat on his ass for the last few years, right? So he's, you know, then he hires the wrong coach. And anyway, yeah, so looks like we're developing some players now. So that's the good part with this. We'll say Marchie and Kent and even Chinny. I mean, I was a little unsure about him, but he seems like he's on the right track if he can stay healthy.
I still have no idea what the hell's going on with him.
Yeah, they've been.
I mean, you've added in just the young guys we have on this team, and obviously we've talked about how well Cleveland's playing as well too. So you have some talent down there that's being developed as well. So I think to your point, the Plaskel hiring was because they didn't have an option at the time. When they fucked up the Babcock thing, it was, let's put our hand up Pascal's ass. He'll be our puppet, him and JD. And we'll probably, I guarantee they made a lot of calls from up in their office and telling Plaskel what he needed to do because they thought they knew best and Plaskel wasn't ready for the job. So again, they're all gone. Who cares at this point? We've seen the fresh faces and the coaching staff and, you know, some different ideas and thoughts of how they're doing things leadership wise as well too. So we've seen positive results in a quarter of a season. So I have a feeling we can all sit there and confidently say this was a Yarmo problem. And as much as I hate to say it, even maybe a JD problem, where I'm kind of glad he's just in an advisory role now. And just kind of letting Don and his group, including Nasher, just kind of make some of these decisions and do what they think is best, and it's paying dividends so far.
Yes, except for, goes right into my next one. I know you're not, I mean, maybe you like it. The PK situation and solutions for the 27th ranked PK in the league. I believe.
Let me get my.
And
they're now 30th.
Oh. Well, so, their overall plus minus, I think, is like only like maybe three or something. Like with their goals, you know, for and against, it's like, well, that's pretty good. And then you have the worst PK in the league, or what? What's the anyway?
They're 30th out of 32 teams. So they're sitting at 71.6% entering tonight's game.
Yeah, so that's just another thing of, you know, and I know it all runs together with the goaltending and defense and penalty kill and all that, but to think that we're kind of even keel with our record and goals for and goals against with a terrible PK, I feel is – we can only go up from here, right? I guess we could go down two more spots, but
you could. I mean, in all honesty, the power play is not any better. I mean, they're sitting at 17.4%. That's 25th in the league. So again, to your point, if we wanted to gripe about something,
got another one, 5-3.
Pretty easy to sit here and say the special teams are a massive problem. I don't know how you fix it. I guess I will say even the Winnipeg game and the game tonight, I think they gave up a goal in both, because that's now 14 straight games they've given up a power play goal. And that would be 19 power play goals in the last 14 games they've given up total.
Yikes.
If I'm updating my numbers from when I pulled this before the game started tonight. So, yeah, it's not good. We've got a power play goal tonight. You know, great power play-wise, but it's still bad. And that's been a theme for the last couple of years. Power play, penalty kill, bad. I don't know what the fix is, but it's not working, so it's time. Penalty kill doesn't help when you take 15 stupid penalties a game. I feel like we're averaging 3 to 4 penalties a game, and some of them are just bonehead mistakes. So stay out of the box is the easiest solution there. I feel like tonight we kind of got screwed, especially on the Olivier call. You know, there was a high stick that I felt like was embellished earlier in the game. And I think that's when they actually scored their power play goal.
I saw that.
A couple of calls that we should have had that we didn't get from the refs tonight. But again, it's the game. Stuff's going to get missed. Bad calls are going to happen. You just can't put yourself in those situations. And it's killing them this year with the amount of goals that they're giving up on the penalty kill. So, I'm sure they're working on it every day. I'm sure there's a meeting about it. They're talking about it, all that good fun stuff. It's just not translating. The plan to the ice during the game is not translating. And I don't know what you do to fix it. So,
yes, fix it, Dean. Damn it. All I could think about was, and I know they have to play this at this arena, but I forget, but Alice in Chains, I'm the man in the box.
Song would be played out in about two games.
Yeah. Same with Bush when they, every time they come out, like, oh my God. Let's see. Around the league. I didn't confirm this from last week, but I read it on the internet, so it has to be true that a 28-year-old guy in France.
That is true.
Okay.
And have you seen the video?
I saw a video where he just knocked the shit out of a, 15-year-old?
Yeah, I read the article. It's pretty fucked up.
I wasn't sure. I should have read the article because I saw it and I was like, there's no way. But he looked huge. So did he just sign up? Kid. Did he sign up for a league or just a game with 15-year-olds?
I didn't read the whole like how it all happened because it was a long ass article. So I didn't read the whole like story. I just read the confirmation that this was a 28-year-old man in a like a kids league, and that he was being charged with assault. I don't know. I don't know how that happens.
Maybe it was a kid that he hit. Maybe it was like that freaking the CEO of the United Healthcare. Like he like hated that 15-year-old, and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna get in the game, and then
I'm
just
lacing him up tonight.
Run him over, man! Wow,
fucking kid out.
The mugshot, he looked like a grown ass man. He didn't look 15. I didn't think.
No, but not at all. That's what's throwing me off. Like, how are the fucking people in France? This must be stupid. I don't know.
Yeah. Jesus.
I don't know how that happens. I really don't. But again, I hope the kid's okay, but damn, he got laid the fuck out.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. I feel bad that that's real, but hope the kid's okay. Hope the kid's okay. Speaking of kids, our beloved Bob, that's down in South Beach right now, is expecting his, we think, second baby. So maybe in like 20 years we can get some good goaltending, eh? The other thing I was going to mention, Nashville and Barry Trotz are screwed. I kind of forgot that he was a GM, and then like their GM that they had for years went just retired or whatever, like last year or the year before. Barry takes over after being a coach for, you know, a bunch of years, Capitals for a bunch of years, right? And just all these signings that he made. And then to add my favorite guy right now, the fabulous Fabro, was just put on waivers. And the guy is arguably one of our top defensemen and was just given away. And it just seems kind of wild to me. And then with just the cap hell they would be in, and like the goals are not, they're just not scoring goals. So just all things I kind of think about with, you know, if Dom wants to make a move, that's definitely a team that I think is going to be looking to, I mean, because they're I don't know. Are they in dead last right now? I think. And their goals against are terrible.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
I read an article today on Andrew Burnett is their coach, and obviously Barry Trotz, both interviewed talking about they're snake bitten right now. And I'm sitting going right now, it's been all fucking season. Especially all that money you spent for all those players. There's some frustrations obviously inside the locker room, talks about healthy scratching some guys until they get their crap together. Barry pretty much said he doesn't want to pull the trigger too early and you know, overreact and think that he needs to make some moves and whatever. But to your point, if it keeps going the way that it is with the amount of money that you spent, you're going to have to figure out a way to get some of that off your books. And I don't know if you're really going to be able to. It just seems, I think you made the right moves if you look at it on paper, but I think maybe you made one or two too many. The team wasn't terrible last year. Good fan base, good city in theory that, you know, with the team and everything, always a loud arena, but they're, I don't know if it's a coaching problem, but they're not put it together. So just some of the article I read, it was just kind of, it was just weird to think about. You got some of that talent. You're going to be talking about healthy scratches, some of those guys, when you already got locker room problems. Like it, you might have a really bad rest of your year if they don't get things turned around pretty quickly. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, definitely a team to keep your eye on. I think I also saw, I'm trying to pull it up, but I also think they've had the most shots on goal. Like, I don't know.
Yes, that's not a problem. Shooting the puck, they're great. They just can't get it to go in. And I guess at the end of the day, maybe it's just you're hitting every goal you're playing. Is this their best night of the year? But
well, I think the stat was against them, like their goalie, which I think is actually playing decent with just getting peppered. But I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I'm sure that's true, but I also know they're putting up a ton of shots as well. They're just, I don't know if they're quality shots. Maybe that's half the battle, is they're just throwing pucks at the net and hitting goalie right in the chest. Maybe not getting any net front presence, but yeah, I think, talk about Fabbro defensively, you let a really solid defender go, you know, whatever. Maybe it's kind of like a Juracek situation. Maybe you just don't think he's going to offer you anything, and he gets some greener pastures and things open up and he's playing great. I didn't watch him in Nashville, so I don't know how well he was playing there, but defensively it looks like a struggle. Offensively, goaltending I think is doing the best he can with everything he's dealing with. So you're right, it might be a team that looks to sell as you get close to that March 7th deadline if they're not getting any better and just try to open up some cap space.
I mean, sure, and
teams out there on a playoff run would be really happy to take on some contracts of some of those players if needed.
Well, who's going to break the news to Steven Stamkos? That's all I want to know. When he gets traded to the Jackets, when they're making a run, baby. Okay. Yeah, so I guess this kind of piggybacks on that, where I'm kind of looking around, sniffing around. What if we're still 500 in a month or so from now? You know who the two Jagaloons, one cup, ideas to win now, trades. Another thing I heard was just a rumbling was Dylan Larkin with the Red Wings, and like how intriguing that would be with their rebuild kind of not going as planned. I think old boy's been there for 6 years. 5 years, or maybe he said it was a 6 year rebuild and they're maybe year five, but someone threw something out about Dylan Larkin and then talking about how Zach and him are like best pals and how that would be kind of wild. And then the other one was Brady Tkachuk, which were, I think he's maybe up, maybe this is his contract year, but I think this person was saying they would probably take Dylan over Brady. I kind of agree, because I think Dylan probably is a little more polished and maybe an all-around player, but I don't see a lot of Brady just given that he plays for freaking Ottawa. But I'd love to see more of a Tkachuk play, even if it's not on the Jackets.
Yeah, there were some rumblings late last week about Brady and potentially being a trade piece. And I think yesterday or I might have been yesterday that his agent came out and even the GM of the Ottawa Senators came out and said, it's not true. We're not taking calls on him right now. And again, we're not close to we're 3 months away from the deadline. So that all could change within a week if the right offer comes around. But there was, I guess Brady went to the GM and said, is this stuff that I'm hearing true? Or are you guys trying to trade me? And both parties came out and said, no, it's not true. We're not shopping him right now. So yeah, I think you're right. If it's a make it or break it, prove it type season for his contract, it's either, teams may just wait till the off season, see what he wants to do in free agency, or someone maybe a sign and, trade and then he signs or whatever, an extension. We'll see how that goes. But as of now, they're saying no, but anything's possible. Ottawa's not playing very well this year, so maybe they look to get a little bit of capital in return, picks or young player to, do their rebuild or whatever. So we'll see how that goes. But that was, again, another thing I read yesterday, so about him specifically. I did not see the Larkin thing, so that was news to me.
Saw the goalie trade with Colorado, and did you look into any of that? What's his name? Yuriev or Yuri, whatever. The guy that played when we played him, when we scored 5 or 6 goals?
No, Yuriev? He was not in that for that game.
Okay.
So yeah, Colorado acquired Mackenzie Blackwood and Giovanni Smith and a 5th rounder in 2027. From San Jose, and they sent San Jose Gorgiev and Nikolaya Kovalenko and a 5th round pick in 2025 and a 2nd round pick in 2026. So I know you've brought it up a few episodes about how bad that goaltending situation is in Colorado. So they've kind of just done an overhaul with their goaltending and trying to figure some stuff out. Obviously, that team defensively and offensively is pretty solid, but goaltender woes, and they've made some moves. I'm kind of shocked. Gorgiev was a key piece in their Stanley Cup 2 years ago. Was that 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Whatever it was. But he just hadn't played well end of last season and really this season at all. So I think it was time for everybody to move on. I don't know if Blackwood's the answer, but
I think he's been playing well from what I remember hearing. I also have Yuriev was just very inconsistent. He would have a really good game or two or three and then have like two or three really bad games. So, we kind of know that feeling, but
exactly. Credit to Sakic and the rest of the front office there for just saying we got a problem and we're going to do something about it and actually getting out there and making the move. So I don't know how many GMs of the team like with the skill set of Colorado and where they're at and with an above 500 record would sit there and go, should we rock the boat or not? And they said, screw it. Let's do it and see what we can come up with. So I give them all the credit in the world for just bearing down and going for it.
Let's jump into to life stuff because, man, it's been a fun week and a half. But we'll call this one Things Nick Hates Furnace Repair. Call 1-800-FURNACE. No. Logan Services. No. Atlas Butler is at no. What else? Care Heating and Cooling. No, unless you want to, you want us to advertise for you. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, we love you if you want to do that.
If you want to do any ads, maybe pay me a few dollars. The furnace decided to go out last Sunday when I believe it was like in the teens. And no, I'm not talking about Jared from Subway. Low teens, and I was like, it feels kind of cold in here, but I didn't really, I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, it's really cold in here. Went to the furnace and it said it was like 62. I was like, oh, I like it a little cool, but that's a little too cool. And, it just continued to get cooler cause it didn't turn on and we got it down to 50 degrees on Tuesday and I was trying to figure out who to call or whatever. I had a guy, Mike, come out and he helped me out. one of Annie's friends, her father-in-law. So thanks, Mike. It still cost me $1,200, but if I would have called any of these other places, they probably would have gotten me. And then he was telling me all these crazy stories about, you know, the sales pitch with these furnace guys where they're like, carbon monoxide, your whole family could die. So we need to get a whole new unit. It's like, well, that's quite a sales pitch that you can just kind of be like, you might die. So, I mean, you know, if you want to pay 10 grand for a new unit, you could do that. And that's pretty much what a guy gave me a quote earlier in the year when he was like, oh, it's bad. I called a company, I won't say the company, to do some, just I signed up for a thing where they do some maintenance every year. I'm like, all right, cool. And then I just got a laundry list of like, oh, you need a new furnace, blah, 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 blah. And this guy's like, yeah, it's fine. You just need this part replaced and you need this, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, long rant, but got it fixed. We're nice and toasty again, but and with this weather, I might have the air conditioning on soon. So thanks a lot, Ohio.
Love it.
I had another rant, but I feel like that went on too long. So we're going to skip that. PK Stink A, we talked about that. Zach, do you want to hear my song?
Is it going to break this thing again?
No, I'm not going to turn it off. I'm just going to sing. We're going to do it live.
You're going to sing?
Yeah. Here we go.
Yes.
This was last week, and the timing was perfect, really, hindsight, because we lost all the games except for the Winnipeg game. And I think I modified it. So here we go. Let's see. So it might not go well because I did a late modification, but okay, here we go. Oh, Canada, we really hate this trip. So bad we knew we would lose to all your teams, except Winnipeg. Wow, that was really nice. Oh, why can't we win the road games? Lack of offense or D. Oh, I got off pitch. Darn it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Okay, no, you got to sing it a certain way, and I messed it up here. Okay, hold on. Why can't we win the road? No. Why can't we win the road? Lack of offense or D. We only win at home where our can is on fleek at the home rink. I said on fleek. We need Leo to sing our song, to soothe us before we play for our Dean and Don. For Dean and Don, we will play ball. Thank you. Also, Juan Soto signed for some money to play for the Mets.
I don't like the Mets.
Also, Juan Soto, his salary is more than what the Reds' payroll was the last seven seasons.
Combined?
That seems fair.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I heard today. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense. Right around 100, less than 100, some years a little bit more.
Well, so that's Frank Cooney, don't let that happen anymore. He wants to spend some cash.
Just give me like a 91 season. That's all. Just give me something. Give me anything. I don't know. Ohio State, like, do you really think they're going to be? Okay, oh, so let's go into the next one. Sorry.
Really going to do this to me, aren't you?
Is the big guy still nuts for the Bucks in the playoff run? Okay, so they have to play Tennessee. I haven't looked at the bracket, but Tennessee, they win that, then they have to play Georgia, or they got to play Oregon, so then they have to beat Oregon, and then more than likely they would play Georgia, right? Because it's four games, right?
Arizona Tennessee. State would be in their bracket. Okay, so that would whoever be Arizona State would end up playing, Texas maybe?
Okay, so we probably play Texas, Arizona State, I mean.
I don't remember which one's which.
Because Arizona State only got in because they won their conference championship, right?
Yeah.
The Big 12. The big old 12.
It was down to them or Clemson. So obviously they gave the four seed theirs, which again, it'll change. I hope to God it changes. I get it. Conference championships mean a lot, but you have to seed this based on the best teams. You cannot. Arizona State getting a bye is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not saying the Buckeyes should have got it by any means. That's not what I'm saying. But these, I think Oregon got screwed. They win that Big Ten Conference championship game, and then it looks like Penn State's got the easier path to the finals.
I was worried about that, and they're playing an extra game. So it's like
you have to change it after this season, and you have to seed. Great, you're automatically in the playoffs if you win your conference. That's a given. That's fine. But you cannot seed – you cannot have your top four teams with a bye – based on conference. If it works out that way, great. If the best four teams are all conference champions, that's fine. But this is it's all wrong. It's all bad. Ohio State's seated where they should be. I don't have an issue with that. I'm sure there's plenty of fans out there. They're like, oh, we beat Penn State on the road and they're ranked higher than we are. Lost to a shitbag Michigan or Michigan team at home. You are where you are. You deserve to be where you are. You just be lucky that you have a home game. And most fans are sitting there going, oh, a night game, too. It's going to be cold. And Bob, if the wind blows, good Lord, can Will Howard throw the ball more than 10 yards? I don't know. So,
Colin McCord could have.
Shut the hell up. Next thing you're going to tell me, Devin Brown can throw the ball 10 yards. Jesus.
I've never said that. He does that little thing with his back leg when he throws Devin Brown.
He's like, transferring out anyway, so we're good.
Yeah, really sad about that.
But, no, can they do it? Yes, they have the talent. That's not an issue. It's game plan. Are we going to do what we do and what we do best? If that's the way we come out and play it, and Chip Kelly's not out there trying to interview for head coaching jobs or look for head coaching jobs, great, whatever. I don't really care. You can win it all, but if they go in with any mentality they've had most of these games and start slow and whatever else, then lose. I really don't care. Win or lose, doesn't matter. If they lose, Ryan Day's out. If they win, he'll stick around and, I don't know, disappoint us for another season, I assume. So, whatever. I'm not nuts about it. I'm still pissed off for the Michigan thing. I'm pissed off at the things I'm reading on, you know, fan boards and how everybody's like, yay, we still got a chance to win the national. Stop. Just stop. I'm done. Tired of it. If you want to actually prove something, go out and win these games and go international. If you do that, I'll be the happiest person in the world. If you don't, lost season, you spent $20 million on your freaking roster, you lost to Michigan, and it's another lost season. And where do we go from here? I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. But winner, screw it. I don't care.
Well, let's hope Tennessee plays like the Miami Dolphins in cold weather. But that would be a help because I think someone said that Tennessee's defensive line is pretty solid, right?
So yes, they are.
We're going to continue to try to run it up, right up the gut.
If you want to run it to the edges with your speed and better athletes. Do that. Do not run it between the freaking guard and center. I swear to God, I'm going to lose my mind. You about saw me lose my mind 2 weeks ago during that Michigan game. I will do it again, and I will turn the damn game off if it happens again.
You were broken. You weren't even big guy mad. You were just kind of broken. I was like, well,
defeated, beat down, kicked in the jewels. It was so hard to watch. But again, I hope they go out and prove what they can do. They are one of the best teams in the country when it comes to on paper talent. It's what is the coaching, what is the game plan, and how are they going to be coached to be successful. And so far this year, Ryan and Chip have not shown me anything. I will give all the credit in the world to the defense in Knowles. They've, I mean, rankings wise, they're in the top five in every freaking category you can be in. Outside of that Oregon game where they just got beat, especially in the passing game, that defense has been solid all year round. So it's not a defensive issue. Special teams kind of sucks. Kicker's an idiot.
Yeah, that makes me nervous too. Game on the line and your kicker.
Game on the line, cold weather with some wind. Ooh. Yeek. So I'm hoping with all this time they have to prepare that they are really kind of locking in on what they want to do. I want to see Ryan Day in that Georgia game from a couple of years ago in the playoffs where we lost on a, again, bad field goal there at the end of the game, but we screwed ourselves. We were in position to win that game and we gave it away. But that was the most fired up I've ever seen Ryan Day. Aggressive, energetic, into the game, screaming, yelling, throwing crap, whatever. I need that Ryan Day in every game that we play in the playoffs and just throwing caution to the wind and just go for it. I don't know what, I don't care what that means, but don't play conservative. Just give it everything you got. Cause offensively the best talent in the, just throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith in the air. I don't care if he's triple covered, throw it to him and he'll go up and get it or he'll get a pass interference penalty called. So, but good times. We'll see how
it goes. I'll add this to the quiet part out loud. I love this opportunity that they have, and it's like you said, it's definitely possible, definitely tough. But in the back of my mind, I keep thinking if Mike Vrabel is interested remotely in this job, do I want to see them win national championship? Because I just feel like, yeah, maybe they win this year, but I just feel like, man, Vrabel would be great to have in the fire if he was interested. And I was so surprised too that I saw that Belichick took the that UNC job.
Did he officially accept the job?
Well, maybe fake news, but I thought I saw something online that said he took the job. So
I thought I saw that too, but then I've also seen things where they were talking to him this morning and he said, if I take this job, it's going to be with the program that's run like an NFL program. And I went there and I in my head, I went, so UNC is that team? It just didn't fit right to me. So you want to have that quick conversation, by all means, if I'm Bill and I got my 24-year-old girlfriend and I want to take her back to experience life with, you know, people closer to her age in the college, by all means, go for it. Or maybe he needs to find a new girl. I don't really know. But there's better teams out there that you can go coach, or you're going to have about 7 to 8 head coaching vacancies in the NFL this year. Does he want to coach a team that's shitty? Probably not. But you can't tell me there's going to be a firing of a team that's halfway decent and just needs a couple tweaks. And with his experience, and probably get an NFL team right back on track. That seems like the better option to me, but maybe he just wants to be around some young folks so his girlfriend's happy. I don't know. Maybe she's not enjoying life at the retirement village. I have no idea. Maybe dinner at 4 p.m. sucks. I don't know.
I think it's so crazy that he's all over all these sports shows now, and you know, he's on the Manning cast and he's got this personality now. And when he was a freaking coach, he was the worst. I mean, I couldn't imagine being a reporter for the Patriots all those years where you're just like, give me anything, right?
On to the
and
next
he would
one.
Just be like, on to Cincinnati. like
that girl has got, she's really brought his personality out, bud.
Damn.
Taking it out, taking it in, whatever, you know.
God, I hope he's – I wonder if he does the Cialis or the Viagra so he can choose. You know, Cialis, you get to choose. So
I'm sure he just yells at it and it stands up at attention no matter what. So must be nice.
Hey-o.
He could have any job he wants. And I have a hard time sitting here going, UNC was the first one to pick up the phone. And great, okay, you go take the interview just to see the college side of it in general, but you're telling me you can't wait a couple more months and then
look at it this way though. Like with that conference, it's definitely doable, especially with the 12-game playoff. Like he probably is looking at it like, okay, so who do I have to compete with? Like, okay, Clemson, if they're kind of like back, right? I mean, they've kind of been down. I mean, that conference kind of sucked. From what I've seen,
SMU is kind of a surprise this year. I mean, as
Florida State's terrible. They look like they're totally just. I mean, after last year, they were good, and then they lost their quarterback, and then you know that whole thing. But they've been terrible this year. Did they win like two games? They win like two or three games.
I think it was two or three.
And they got Ola Ungale, and he was terrible. And he's transferred.
That was a 10-3 team to start the season. And that's when they lost to Georgia Tech in Dublin.
Oh, when they ordered. Oh, yeah. And McAfee was over there getting drunk with Saban and his lady.
McAfee hanging out over there all hammered and high. But you can have any job you want. I just find it really hard to believe it's UNC. But again, do your thing. I don't want him. If that question ever comes up, is Ohio State go get
Belichick? Oh God, no. The answer is too much of a risk.
Correct. The answer is very simple. If it's not Ryan Day, then I think it's Mike Vrabel. Now Vrabel didn't his issue, I think, back especially when Urban was the coach, was Urban was sending him out on recruiting trips and he had to do this, that, and the other. If Vrabel's in charge, he doesn't have to deal with that shit. All he has to do is go on a couple big rig trips or whatever. But for the most part, he's pointing at a bunch of different people saying, you guys go do this. I'm going to sit here in my office and scheme for games and do whatever. So I think he's the right answer. I know Marcus Freeman's name's been thrown out there. Luke Fickell's name's been thrown out there. I think Vrabel's the only answer that I have. If one of those guys want to come back and be on the staff, by all means, I'll take that. But
I'll take the long play. Vrabel gets in. Fickell gets fired next year because Wisconsin loses like 3 or 4 games out of the gate. He becomes the defensive coordinator. We just bring the whole team back, the Silver Bullet team from all those years ago. And
I don't know what Tyus Powell and those guys are doing, but we can find them a job on the team. I mean, we already got Laurinaitis there. We can just fill it up with Buckeye players that used to win games against Michigan and see what we can do with that.
Well, and I think really, too, with these NFL coaches, and you think about Brian Hartline, the NIL, all these players now that come to Ohio State want to get to the pros. Obviously, that's always the goal. But you start bringing in these ex-players, ex-NFL coaches, I think that might be the way you kind of have to go to kind of keep this thing going.
Yeah. And I agree with you.
And like 100%. You said, you have all your little minions do all your work for you, and a Vrabel or somebody that's kind of like, I don't want to go do all that shit, but figure out a way to do it where they're not, you know, following these kids around, and then they're, you know, decommitting, and then they're transfer portaling and all that. Like, I don't know, but the Ryan Day thing, I don't know. Maybe I just don't. I've never really liked him.
I have never had a problem with Ryan Day. I was always a fan of his. I cannot get over that game against Michigan in the game plan. It was piss poor put together. It's national championship or bust for him. And the minute that he's out the door, I would hope maybe somewhere in the back alley, someone has picked up the phone and called Vrabel and said, how interested are you if this thing is off the rails? Because we want to announce you as a head coach as Ohio State is walking off the field in whatever game they lose. And they fire Ryan and leave him there. So that way, just from a recruiting standpoint, there's a plan in place and whatever else. There's been like 5 names floated out there of all non-Ohio guys. And again, Kurt Cignetti just signed that big deal with Indiana. I don't think that's the right answer either.
Old boy from Indiana, I think, might be another possible Michigan State debacle where it was like, okay, correct, you came in, you had a good year, you know, you talk a little smack, you got a little, you know, swagger to you for a team that is never really in the equation. And I don't know. I'd give him a few more years. And I think
out of a James Madison program that was not in big time college football, big boy football. He brought half of the team with him, sparked Indiana. And again, they didn't play anybody this year. When they played Ohio State, they got their shit railed. I mean, if Ryan Day was guaranteed another year, we could give this one more season. You see if Cignetti goes out there and has another 11-win season, then maybe. But he could come out next year for Coach Indiana, and then they go friggin' 5-7 or something like that. And then, you know, it falls apart. 1 year wonder, whatever, no big deal. But I think I think Vrabel's really your only answer right now. It's the best option I think you have. And as long as he's truly interested, the minute And again, I hope it, I really hope, I want to win the national. Again, to sit here and say, I would rather lose just to get rid of Ryan Day. I can't think that way. So win the national championship. But what are we going to get next year then? I don't know. Right. So if he loses, then he's done. And you got to bring in, I hope Vrabel's on speed dial. I hope, what's his nuts? I cannot, why can I not think of our AD's name right now?
Ross. Oh, the new guy. Yeah.
And he's got him on speed dial, and he has the private jet ready to take off to go get him.
I wanted to add, before I forget, I'll have to edit this to take out that I said that I didn't like Ryan Day. If I happen to run into him tomorrow, because tomorrow, since I work for Ohio State, we're having a meeting, a whatever winter gathering at the SHU, and I'm doing a stadium tour tomorrow. So if I run into Ryan Day, I'm going to give him a big hug and kiss him on those little rosy cheeks of his and wish him the best luck.
He kicks you right in the jibs.
Yeah. Well, that if he does, then I know that he listened to the podcast, and that's good. But given that he didn't even know when Halloween or whatever was,
whatever team
he probably doesn't have times for the he doesn't have enough time for the Jagaloon, so
no,
whatever.
But good luck, Ohio State. Obviously, like always, I will be cheering for you. I will be a nervous wreck sitting here at home next Saturday at 8 p.m. I'll have the nervous poos all next week. But you know, I'm hoping for a deep run, and we'll see how it goes.
We should have another podcast before then, but maybe not. I don't know. But we'll see. Let's go back. I know we talked about this last week, but no one heard it. Say the quiet part out loud. The Jackets need to wear, just to rope it in with the high state, the Jackets need to wear the Cannon Blues for the Winter Classic.
Love how they got blown out 5-3 in those tonight.
Well, the blue and the red, it would be a little switcheroo-ski. You got the Michigan team wearing the red, and we're, you know, I know people say scarlet, but, you know, red and blue. I think that's what you need to do. And people don't know what a goddamn blue jacket is if you're from anywhere, not Ohio, and they don't know this little porn star with the Ohio flag. God. Whoa. Oh, God, I thought you fell for a minute. Nah, big guy down.
I had to move the computer.
Oh, big guy's getting on the couch. Oh, big guy ripped his sleeves off.
Nipples.
Oh, God, we don't see that. No, YouTube. Ah. YouTube's got a flag. No, YouTube's going to take this down. We're going to try to get this
on. That's why we put it on Pornhub. That's why we'll post everything there.
Yeah.
I'll give you my login.
God. I was trying to transition to what I wanted to say, but it's not going to come out right. So it was going to be referring to what I said last week that I thought was pretty funny when we were talking about serious stuff. And then I said, and he hits it far to left field and it's out of here. We were talking about some heavy shit from a few weeks ago. And I was like, well, Castellanos with the home run. So we're going to leave that one alone. But I do remember, I'm like, man, I think that would have been funny. People might have thought it was a little insensitive, but I meant well, I promise. I just didn't know how to
transition. People know that we're not the most politically correct individuals.
I didn't know how to transition to the next thing without kind of, you know, oh, and he hits it. What's he say? I can't remember exactly what I swear. I might have said it right last week.
This is like deep fly ball to left field or something like that. Ah, that's funny.
He's back. He's back doing stuff now. So good on him.
Isn't he calling like ACC football games?
He always did a bunch of random stuff because he would do like random football, like a random football conference, and then baseball and. Yeah, he kind of did a little bit of everything, but this is a little redundant, but Fabulous Fabro needs re-signed. We talked about it a few weeks ago, and you were like, man, I said Gabranson, man, I said Fabulous Fabro. Dude's playing well. He would price sign for a discounted rate. Why not? you know? So I think that's something that they need to maybe look at. So get him, Olivier, get these guys that are a little more budget friendly, signed up, baby. And then we talked a little bit about the possibility of the BJs, and this was fresh off the Michigan loss. The BJs will see more success than the Buckeyes in the next 5 years. And I can't remember what the big guy said, but, and, you know, I said success as in some winning seasons, getting to the second round of the playoffs for the Jackets and possibly winning, maybe winning winning a second round series, maybe 2 of the 5 years. That being said, with the Buckeyes not winning a national championship in that 5 year span, Jackets maybe make the playoffs 3 of those 5 years, and they, you know, win a playoff series or two. I'd say the BJs finally surpass the Buckeyes in a period of time. But just a thought. That was a little more after Michigan loss. Holy shit, the Buckeyes suck. Thinking at the time. So
yeah, I think I poo-pooed you at first, and then you made a point that I kind of agreed with, and I changed my mind. So I think I'm with you with the expectations at Ohio State. If you're not beating Michigan, winning Big Ten championships, and winning, I don't know, one or two national championships, maybe one, we'll go with one. Two seems greedy in today's landscape. Then, yeah, I think you're right. Yes, we're talking two completely different sports with college athletes that are getting paid, so you might as well be professionals, and then, you know, obviously the NHL. But I think you're dead on. If you don't beat Michigan, I don't know, 4 out of those 5 years, win 3 or 4 Big Ten titles and a national championship, and, you know, Columbus is making the playoffs 2 years, getting to the second round, potentially a conference final or whatever. Again, that may seem greedy as well. But I think you're right. I think relevant to the town and to Columbus, then I would say you're correct in that one.
Yes. That's correct. All right, big guy, what do you got for me? I think that's everything here on my list-a-rama.
I did just some quick little, you know, news and notes around the NHL. We talked about the, you know, the trade with the Avs and the Sharks and stuff like that. Also, just some news that dropped today. Kevin Shattenkirk is retiring from the NHL after 14 seasons. Good career. I think a very solid defensive defenseman.
With the Blues for quite a few years, right?
Time. Rangers won a cup with the Lightning in 2020. So played for a couple different teams. 484 career points, but just a really solid defenseman. He kind of had a quote here, never knew hockey would take me this far. The game has had a dramatic impact on development, me into the man that I am today. So, you know, again, not always a solid player. I think he was the captain at one point for the Blues. You know, I didn't even realize he was playing this season. 14-year NHL career, good for him on retirement, and kind of hope the best for him. Maybe he gets into coaching. I don't know. He was structurally just one of the best defensemen out there, so you got to kind of think that, you know, defensive side coach, maybe AHL, NHL at some point, he might be a good fit if that's something he wants to pursue, or maybe coach college or whatever. But, you know, wish him nothing but the best in retirement. Blackhawks goaltender Peter Mrazek was placed on IR today with the injured groin, so –
growing.
We talked about him early on in our first couple episodes.
Yeah. Of,
you know, he played for Detroit there for a while and had some decent seasons, went to Chicago, was playing okay. That's just a rough franchise right now, but he's had some injury woes over the last couple seasons. So, you know, hopefully he can come back from this one. And, you know, you talk about goalies that maybe the Jackets are looking at. I don't know.
Get him here. Do it.
I don't know. He's 7-11-1, 2.83 goals against, .906 save percentage.
I mean, the record's not as good as Elvis, but the goals against and the save percentage is better. So, again, yeah. I'm not saying that's the answer, but it's a guy we talked about, and I saw that he got placed on IR today. So, there's that one. We didn't talk about the Jacob Trouba trade. The Jackets were technically on that.
I heard that, yeah.
He poo-pooed the no-trade clause and didn't want to come to Columbus. I know Cam Fowler that was in Anaheim really wanted to be traded out and wanted to be a part of this deal to New York. They pretty much told him to pound sand, and they wanted to get the salary relief, the cap relief.
Felt like bags of sand?
Exactly. They felt like loose bags of sand. So a weird trade, I think, but there was just some – I have some bad blood out in New York with Trouba, and he really wanted out. He was their captain.
New York's kind of falling apart, man. They just lost to Chicago, and like everything's kind of. I'm like, Brad, you want to come? You want to come over here? You want to come back, Brad?
Well, we got to find him a garage. So he needs a garage.
Is that what he? Is that what he said? What was it again? Refresh me.
He wanted a garage or some shit like that, wasn't it?
I'm like, move out of downtown. Move to the burbs like everyone else on this team.
Move to the burbs. Jesus. There's plenty of houses going up around here. We'll find him something. But that was just a weird trade for me. It just didn't seem like Anaheim would be the fit kind of with where they're at right now either. But he just wanted out so bad, and that's the team that he, you know, said, okay, send me, I guess. So whatever. Weird one there. I think that's really the only other big trade I've seen over the last couple of weeks. Now, talking about the New York Rangers, kind of after that Jacob Trouba trade, they shed $8 million in the cap hit in their position to pursue defenseman upgrades ahead of the March 7 deadline. $22 million in cap space right now, and they are currently interested, according to some reports, in Columbus Blue Jacket, Provorov. There we go. And then Marcus Peterson out of Pittsburgh, two targets that they're really going after with $22 million in cap space. Kind of do whatever you need to do, really, at that point.
Is New York, you're saying?
Who's that? This is New York. That was a report that came out after the Trouba trade with some of the insiders there in New York that Provorov was one guy that they're kind of putting their target on.
I hate to leave. I've been hearing about, we've been hearing about for 2 years now, Provorov. But man, I hate to lose him now. It's like he's finally just. Last year it was like, but man, this
played
year
really
just,
well. Like, this year, dislocated thumb and came back out the next game and played tough. It'd be a hard guy to lose, but I guess money or pieces talk, and we'll see what happens.
Well, and the thing with him too, which I heard is this is kind of his contract time. He's late 20s, so this is his big contract. So he's going to want to probably go somewhere and get his money, because this is the time that he's going to get the most money, and then it's all downhill from there. But
and I don't think the Jackets are going to give him the money he wants.
No, based on I don't think so.
How many defensemen we have and what we have down in Cleveland right now. So I wouldn't blame him, if that's what he decided to do or whatever. But it was
and that goes back to my point with Fabro. It's like, okay, if you lose Provorov and you can sign Fabro to a few more years or a few year deal. I just think, he's playing so well now that like, why risk it? These players know sometimes that, you came from a franchise where you played and then it fell off and then you could go somewhere else and he could feel, it could be like so many other cases where it's not a good fit. Right. I mean, we've said that about everybody. And then, then he's going, well, shit, I should have just signed with Columbus for a decent 2 or 3 year deal. Instead, I'm maybe getting released or getting traded again, uprooted, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, fabulous. Come on, baby.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all, because you're going to get a nice discounted rate as well, too. So fills the cracks and gaps of what you got going on there. And
ooh, filling cracks and gaps.
Getting Matejchuk coming up, we'll potentially get some other trades or whatever, either a defenseman or, anything kind of you needed really at that point. But I think as much as I'm with you, depending on kind of where the Jackets are early March or maybe even late February, that's a move you potentially could be okay with. and just kind of building your roster potentially for next season. So, and then really the last piece of news I had, I'm sure everyone's seen it. Shesterkin signed his 8-year, $92 million deal there in New York. So they at least got their goalie. A lot of New York news, I guess. He could have been a restricted free agent on July 1st of next year. So $11.5 million a year to stay in New York. I mean, yeah.
Is he under 25? You think he's a young – easy?
He's got to be, right?
For that big of a deal?
That's a hell of a deal. More power to him, I guess.
Can't beat that deal. Hell of a deal.
Bob's sitting there going, what the hell?
Oh, Bobby. I miss Bobby.
Oh, like I found this article.
Oh.
Oh, where is it? Did I throw it away? No, I didn't throw it away.
What, you got like a newspaper over there?
Yeah, newspaper article. It's like the Nick in the nick of time was the thing. It was when they won that Pittsburgh game. I can't remember. Yeah, it's somewhere. Oh, here it is.
So 2014, man, this was a good time. I couldn't believe it. That's right, 2014.
Back when there were newspapers?
In the nick of time. Little Bobby. We got Curtis McElhaney.
Oh, God.
We got Savard. Stanley Cup playoffs. Blue Jackets versus Pens. Series tied. So that was the Nick Foligno overtime goal. So game one, Pittsburgh, 4-3. Pittsburgh. Columbus game two, 4-3. Two overtimes in that one. Don't remember that. Pittsburgh, 4-3, game three. Columbus, 4-3 in overtime. What a series, man. Ugh. That was so fun. I want to get back there, Zachy.
Sounds like a good time.
Oh, here's another one. You might enjoy this as a sad Reds fan and you're a Cubs fan, but who's that?
Who the hell is that?
Homer Bailey.
Oh, God, Homer Bailey. Dead? Is
no hitter against who? The Pirates. And he also had another one. I had that one framed, too. So, yep. Yeah, so this is Nick's hole. Check this out too. Look, I got my towel over here. Check out the towel, Zach.
Oh, the old terrible towel from 2018,
baby. Oh, and then this thing's probably 20 some years old.
Oh, God, Jody looks ugly.
Oh, our beloved Jody. You ready for these stats on the back? 2000-2001, Syracuse, 69 games in the AHL.
69.
Syracuse, Columbus, he had, and okay, here we go. Columbus, 68 games, one goal. Oh, shit. Wow. I've never looked at his stuff. Okay, 2002, right? Columbus, 68 games, one goal. 4 assists, 5 points. Guess how many penalty minutes that year?
249. Damn.
Next year he had 76 games, 3 goals, 3 assists, so he had 6 points. 228 penalty minutes. Year before that too. Oh shit. Yeah. So I probably got this roll. First season. 2000. Yeah, so this thing's 24 years old.
He's a cutie.
I wish And then this is a Mark Denine jersey that's signed, but I have it flipped the other way.
One of our very average goalies that,
No Ron Tugnutt, but I wish I had that Vote Tugnutt jersey. That's one thing I still wish I had. All right, y'all. Is that it, Zachy? Is that all you got?
I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Why not?
Okay.
What is the worst penalty kill percentage by an NHL team in a season? Is it A, 65.3%, B, 66.7%, C, 68.2%, or D, 69.4%? Before you answer, all bad, just so you know.
69, D.
No, 68.2% by the 79-80 Kings. Now, I will give you even a funner?
I like the stat. I like the very up-to-date stat there from 40 years ago.
Exactly. But there are currently two teams this year that are on pace to set and break that record.
Two teams.
The Islanders are currently at 65.1% on the penalty kill.
And the Blackhawks.
And the Red Wings are 67.5%. The Jackets are just ahead of both of those teams this year. But both of those teams could break that record that's been sitting there since the 80s season. That's some bad, 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 terrible, piss-poor penalty killing.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the Winnipeg game, there was a ton of block shots. There were so many people blocking shots, but I don't know, man. I don't know what they do. But you know what? The next game they play, they'll look good, and we'll be like, oh, okay. Well, yeah. Whoa. I did that. Remember I did that one of the podcasts. That's how I feel watching this team. Whoa. Yeah. No. Oh, I'm going to poop my pants. Nope. Not going to poop my pants.
Oh, God.
Jesus. 6-3-1, baby, in the last 10. That's pretty good. All right, yeah, everybody.
Tough games coming up.
What do we got? What do we got on the schedule next?
Caps at home next Thursday.
Yeah, that'll
be a 40-point team. I'll be at the game Saturday with the Ducks coming to town.
Oh, yeah, nice. They should be able to take care of the Ducks.
Should be able to. Then they get Carolina on the road, Tampa on the road, and then back home for New Jersey. So,
New Jersey.
Four of your next five are against some pretty solid teams there in the East.
Well, worst case, at least split, baby. At least split. Get a few points, get back home. Don't play like you did tonight. We'll be good.
Yeah, we got Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, so we got a little bit of got some games, baby. We got a lot of games coming up.
Well, just keep on banging, as they say.
Clang them and bang them.
All right, everybody. Well, we're going to try to get this one on the YouTube and Spotify and all the other ones. I'm going to put a list out if I am successful in putting this out on all the platforms or most of. And remember to check us out on the Twitters and the Twatters of the X, Jagaloons, and Instagram, CB Jacket Jagaloons. And what else, Zachy? Is that it?
No, sounds good. I think
that's it. Remember to follow us. If you're on Spotify, follow us and then hit the alert, the little bell thing that reminds you when we drop another hot one on you, on your face.
And we dropped a podcast. Aggressive. Both of them. Got it.
Yeah.
Cleveland Steamers on your face.
Well, like I said to begin, it's a twofer. Okay? On your face, in your face.
I'm impressed that we did a twofer in an hour and 24 minutes.
Well, we kind of, you know, it was kind of less work this week, but, you know, we added some stuff and whatnot, but still trying to add stuff and figure out what works and whatnot. Listener numbers have been pretty good. They've gone down a little bit, so trying to make sure that we are giving the people what they need and want. So I grabbed some lotion on the way down to Nick's hole.
Oh, Jesus.
And the wife saw it and she's like, "What are you guys doing?" And I said, "Well, I lied to you. I lied to you. Me and Zach are doing an OnlyFans." She's like, "Honestly, at this point, financially, just do what you got to do."
I love Annie. She's my favorite.
Really legit. Like,
at this she's point, not wrong.
Due to inflation, she's like, "I mean, whatever you got to show, I really don't care." She's like, "Just maybe don't put your face on there." I'm like, "Are you being serious? Is this real?" Where's Ashton Kutcher? Is this okay? Well, shit. Maybe I'll set up an account. Because, you know, at 37, sometimes the holiday hemorrhoids will just pop up anywhere, like Santa with his big sack. The holiday hemorrhoids, baby.
That's what the people want to hear.
It's a great time. Holiday hemorrhoids. It's lovely. So, think about me. Think about me when you're sitting there just having a good time, and think about the holiday hemorrhoids. And just
make sure you get the lotion and a box of Kleenexes next to you.
I'm trying a lot of things, and it's a good time. So, and then I went to rehab today for my freaking foot. You know, just loving it, man. Loving it. This is 37. We're looking at everybody. We're looking at Zach's armpit right now. So,
hi everybody.
There it is. All right, we love you. We'll see you, and we just got to say
bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye.